We have been looking at the meaning of Christmas. And this morning, because this is our last Sunday that we meet before Christmas, this morning I'm going to go ahead and read the Christmas story one more time in Luke 2, verses 1 through 20. And then we're going to look at a part of this story that's right in the middle. And I think it's the foundational truth, or truths, I should say, of what Christmas means to all of us. Luke 2, it says, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men whom his favor rests.' And when the angels had left and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." That's what all the fuss is about. A little baby. A little baby who God in his wisdom chose to make his appearance in. And we've been studying as to why God would do that. In Luke 2:10, we find, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Fear not. Fear not. I believe God had to come as a baby, because I think if he would have just shown up like the angels did, we would all been running for cover. I mean, every time an angel shows up in Scripture, they say, "Fear not, it's okay. Heaven's just been opened up to you. Now you can go change your pants and come back and we'll talk about this." Fear not. And we don't have to fear, because our God is a God who showed us his humanity, showed us his grace, his mercy, his love, by coming in the form of a baby. Next they say, "Behold," and that word "behold" is an amazing word. It means to see and know in the perfect only. The angel is saying, "Don't be afraid. From now on, because of Jesus, you are going to be able to see and know in the perfect." Because we now, because of Christ's birth, because of his growing into a man, because of his ministry, because of his death and resurrection, and because he sent the Holy Spirit to live within us, we now have the ability to see, to hear in the perfect only. Because the Holy Spirit is there to tell us, to show us what that looks like. He says, "I will fill you with the Holy Spirit. I will fill you with the perfect, so that you'll be able to see and hear in the perfect only." Now this week we're going to look at the last part of this verse, which says, "I bring you good tidings of great joy." Now, what's interesting is what the angel said. Of course, it's interesting. But the word that he used. He could have used many, many words to declare. But this word, good tidings, it literally means to evangelize. The angel was repeating a prophetic verse that's from Isaiah. And this angel says, now I want you to go out. Because in the Old Testament, a different word is used. But the angel says, I want you to go out and I want you to evangelize. There is some good tidings, evangelize, of great joy. I want you to go out and declare it. This angel was literally the first evangelist of the New Testament. He was telling the shepherds, go be evangelistic. And what did they do? They went and they got evangelistic, right? They went running into town. They told everybody what had happened. They found the baby and they went back praising and glorifying God because what? It was exactly as God had told them through the angel. And you want to know something? When you read the Bible, it is exactly that. When God says something, that's the way it is. God always tells us the truth. Whether we like it or not, He tells us the truth. And the angel says, I want you to go evangelize. I want you to go tell the good news about this. You see, in verse 11, it says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. That is something to go tell somebody about, because evangelizing means to go tell somebody else about something that is incredible that you have or you have experienced. And that's what the angels say. Go tell these good tidings. Go evangelize. Go tell them that there is a Savior and His name is Jesus Christ the Lord. The second part of this verse, it says that there is great joy. Not just a little bit of joy. Great joy. Now this word great is incredible, okay? Because it's the word that we get mega from. And I think it's kind of interesting in this day and age, everything's mega, you know? Mega blocks, mega cities, mega this, mega that. Here a mega, there a mega, everywhere a mega, mega. Okay? And the angel was saying, there is mega. Now just a little bit. Mega joy. Now what does that mean? Mega means this is joy that is spread out. That's what mega means. Mega metropolis, it just gets spread out. It just keeps spreading. And the angel is saying that this is great mega joy. This is joy that is going to spread out from this place. And it did, because the shepherds took it. Jesus took it. The Holy Spirit took it. And all the apostles took it. And then we've taken into the world this mega joy. Now, a lot of people don't understand what this spreading out joy means. You know, a lot of people, when you think of joy, you think, yes, oh, yeah, ha, ooh, ha, yeah, it happened. I won the lotto. Ah! Yeah? No, that's not the kind of joy we're talking about here. The joy that the angel's talking about is what the word describes as a calm delight. Yes, amen. As a white hot ember. As someone who doesn't make a lot of fuss, but they get a lot of work done. Because we take this joy and we hold it close to our heart. We hold it close to our minds. We get close to Jesus every day. We take this joy and we let this joy warm us up. Now, I don't know about you, but the last couple of days, I've needed something to warm me up. Yeah, we're starting to experience a little bit of winter around here, aren't we? This morning, the wind, you know, blowing across here. I like it. You look at the weather and it says 34, feels like 5 below. Right? And this calm delight, this joy, it warms us. It encourages us. It strengthens us from the inside out. So we have this spreading out, warm, calm delight within us. We have this great joy. Fear not, for behold, I bring you great tidings, good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for all of us. So how do all of us, how do we use this, which we've been talking about these last 3 weeks? Well, I'm going to give you 3 words that I use, okay? In order to use this, to the maximum, you need to be swerving, you need to be observing, and you need to be preserving. Okay, swerving, observing, preserving. Say it real fast. Swerving, observing, preserving. Okay? And how does that fit in? Well, first of all, fear not. First of all, you got to swerve away from fear. Because in this day and age, all you got to do is turn on the TV, go into social media, and you run right into fear, right? And sometimes you just got to swerve away from it. You know, I like all of you that are my friends on Facebook. I like that you send me the good stuff. Yeah, not so many kitten videos, okay? But you send me the good stuff. Because I'll tell you what, you can swerve right into fear, or you can swerve away from fear. You can swerve away from it. I swerve away from fear by every morning getting into the Word of God and saying, okay, God, this is my foundation. No matter what happens, no matter what happens, Lord, I'm going to swerve away from fear today. I'm not going to take it. You see, John, in 1 John 4:18, he told us the key to swerving away from fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Yes, now, what did we talk about here in this verse? Perfect love, the love of God coming as a baby. The perfect love of God being poured out through a Savior. The perfect love of God being poured into us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Perfect love drives out fear. If you want to swerve away from fear, then just swerve right into the perfect love of Christ, yes, into His Word, into His promises, into the life that He has for you. So you got to swerve away from it. The next thing that we need to do is we need to observe. That word, behold, perceiving the perfect, getting a hold of the perfect only. Behold. See, through the power of this love that He gives us, this perfect love, through that power, we come to know Him and we come to follow Him in the perfect only. That word is very strong, only. There's only one way into the perfect love, and that's through Christ. There's only one way to swerve away from fear, and that's in Christ. And when we behold that, when we realize that, you know, there's a lot of stuff going out there, and I could follow this or I could do that. And you know, even sometimes good stuff is not the best stuff where God is involved. I had to learn that when I first started pastoring. I got involved in a lot of good stuff, and I was so wore out, I wasn't taking time to do the best stuff. And we need to know that perfect only that God has for us. We need to focus on it. We need to observe. Romans 12:2 tells us how to observe. It says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. The pattern of this world is real easy to find. Don't conform any longer to that. It says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will, by observing. By observing what His Word says, by observing how Christ lived, by observing the truth that God has this truth for you, that He has many things for you to do. He has a purpose for you. He has a plan for you. And He has more than enough love in order to get those purposes and those plans done. And we need to observe that. Now, the last thing I want to talk about is preserving. And what we do, it's very interesting how we preserve our heritage. So many times Christians get so inward focused on themselves, they forget that their heritage is one or two or three generations out. How do we preserve our heritage? By proclaiming it. By proclaiming it. You see, we need to proclaim all of the promises that God has given us. We need to proclaim them to our children, to our friends, to our family. My dad's still alive. You know how my dad preserved his heritage? Once he came to Christ, every night my dad would get on his knees and pray beside his bed, and he would read his Bible. And a couple different times I'd go into the bedroom and to say something, I'd see my dad there, and he wouldn't even look up. He just continued to read or pray. And I knew that when he was done, he would come out and we could visit. You want to know something really incredible?
My grandpa Jim had that same heritage. So my grandpa Jim, my dad, myself, my children, and my grandchildren, five generations of preserving. And it all started with the prayers. The prayers of those generations past. I found out something really incredible this past year. My grandfather drowned way before I was born. My mom was only like 2 or 3 years old. And we didn't know much about him because it was a sad time and nobody said anything. And Casey lives in Leed, and he sent me something that he found. That a man by the name of Bill Pridgen helped found the Assembly God Church in Leed Deadwood. He was a miner in Leed, and he drowned in Ormond Dam. That's my grandpa. You see, if we want to preserve something, we need to share it. You know, hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. And I'm not saying that along the way in those five generations we did it all right, because in those five generations we've had divorce, and we've had alcoholism, and we've had death, and we've had grief, and we've had unforgiveness, and we've had all kinds of garbage. But you want to know something? From my great-grandparents to my grandchildren, we've all heard, known, and many of us have walked out that truth. So we need to continue to preserve these promises. Because you see, not only do we have this, for unto you a child is given right now. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. I want to read you the prophecy in Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. This tells not only about what's happening right now, what has happened in the past, but what will happen in the future. And there's a lot of hope and a lot of joy and a lot of comfort and a lot of peace in this proclamation and this promise. And it will happen. Just like two planets are going to line up tomorrow night and look like the Christmas star. Isn't that interesting? God does that, what, every 600, 800 years? Okay, 800 years. Just like God has planned all of this from the beginning, God planned this. For unto us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. Now that's a Christmas present. You look throughout the whole world, and what does our world need? Our world needs an increase of the government of Christ, where there will be peace of no end, where he will reign and he will establish justice and righteousness. We can't even grasp a government with justice and righteousness. And when Jesus shows up, before he takes us all up, he's going to come to earth and he's going to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years, and his government will be established. And I believe it's so that we get a little bit of a clue what it's going to be like when we all go to heaven. That's a Christmas present. Man, I'll tell you what. I'll take that. I'll take that over all of this silliness that's going on, you know? I mean, the other day I was listening to something and I said, you know, when is that little boy, the emperor's new clothes, when is that little boy just going to get up and say, you know, that government official doesn't have any clothes on. Nobody's wearing a mask, you know? I mean, it's just silliness. But this is what is going to happen. This is a Christmas present beyond our comprehension. And it all starts with swerving, observing, and preserving. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that you have all of the universe, everything, the entirety of everything that is, you have in your hands. Lord, everything that goes on in this little planet we call home, Everything that goes on millions of light years, Lord, away from here and light years away from here in your planets. Lord, you have everything timed. Everything. And your promises always come to be. And we thank you for that. And Lord, this Christmas, let us remember that you have brought us good tidings of great joy, and we need to share them. Give us the power to do so, Lord, and give us the power to walk out your love and your joy. In Jesus' name, amen.